Okay, this is December 9th. Be present or be the present?
Or be a present. Either way, it doesn't. It'll work. Good evening!
Good evening.
Well, it is so nice as usual to see so many gods and goddesses in one room together. For the young people that are here for the first time, this is a metaphysical teaching. And what we teach in metaphysics is that you're one with this thing called God. That you and God are one in the same thing. That all you are is God. But you are not all that God is, because I happen to be God also. But we want to know about that interconnection to all of life when we talk about God. We had a man 2 weeks ago who wanted to know if it was energy or whatever it was. I have no idea, people. You know, I do know that God is not a superhuman being sitting on a cloud somewhere. I know that God is intelligence. I know that God is wisdom. I know that God is energy. And I know that God is life. The life that is coursing through you right now is the life of God. There is only one life, and that life is the life of God, and you are part of that life. So therefore, you have the same qualities that God has. You have intrinsic within you are all the qualities of God. But we're not taught that. And the idea is to learn that and to bring those qualities to the forefront. You see, we can bring all the qualities. It's a choice. Life is always a choice. You can choose to sit here and think of God, or you can choose to sit here and think of something else, perhaps the devil. I don't know what you're going to think about. But it's your choice. Always your choice. So it makes more sense to know that you are part of a thing in the universe that's for good, so that that goodness comes to you. If you think that the universe is against you, it's going to be against you. If you think that the universe is for you, it's going to be for you. And that is what this teaching is all about, to see life differently and to stop being puppets of your conditioning. We were all taught at childhood, we were taught that God is outside of us. We were taught so many things that are not true. And so many people still live by those because they do not learn to think for themselves. This teaching teaches you to think for yourself. It does not teach you what to think. It teaches you how to think, which is completely different. So many people go through life without ever realizing their true potential. And your true potential is to have all the God qualities. Your potential is to realize that you are a creator, and that your words, thoughts, actions, and deeds are creating your reality. So right here and right now, what you're thinking is creating a reality of some sort or other. So with that said, let's do this first one. Synchronicity, and then I'll tell you some stories. Divine love is continually revealing itself to me as I align my heart and mind with the spirit. I become increasingly aware of the amazing events in my life that might be called happy consequences. Perhaps an old friend calls unexpectedly and tells me exactly what I need to know for an important assignment. Or maybe I meet someone specially at an event I hesitated to attend. I am grateful for the divine synchronicities. They remind me that I am connected to everyone and everything. Connected to everyone and everything. Aware of my kinship with all of life, I feel immense love and joy. Nothing happens by chance. All is in divine order. Synchronicities may be viewed as glimpses of divine love's presence, which brightens my day and illuminates my way. And you all have had these experiences. The synchronicity. You have to realize that we're living, moving, and having our being in the mind of God. And when we start to think about something, something starts to work for us, starts to create what we want. Last week, Thomas walked in here with persimmons. The week before, I went to three different stores looking for persimmons. I wanted persimmons, and I finally said, well, they must be out of season. But I kept persimmons in my mind. Now, who arrives at your home with persimmons? You see, what I'm trying to explain to you is that thought was in my mind. It went somewhere and did something. And I got persimmons, you see. This is what you have to know about your life. This is what you have to know about your thinking. This is the way this thing works. This thing that you're connected with is working for you all the time. It's always doing something for you. Now, the next thing I'm going to tell you is a friend of mine, Marilyn, I can use her name, wanted to take me to see Bette Midler. And she said, I'll do that for your Christmas gift. And then she called and said, you know, it's frightfully expensive, Dallas. I don't think I can do it. I said, well, that's all well and good. My friend Susie called and said, I have tickets for you to see Bette Midler. You keep it in your mind. I didn't say anything to Marilyn. I said, well, that's all right. But I didn't say, well, I'm not going to go to see Bette Midler. I kept Bette Midler in my mind. I wanted to see that. So the energy that I put out, somebody calls with a ticket for me, a free ticket. On Saturday, I was going through the emails, the Facebook things, whatever that is. I have a friend that's an artist, and he did these most magnificent two paintings of flowers. I thought they were lovely. I typed right off to him. I said, these are absolutely beautiful. How much are they? He typed back and said, give me your address. I'll send them to you. Give me your address. I'll send them to you. This is what this teaching is all about. This is what your life is supposed to be like. When you want something and you keep it in mind, you have to know that you are going to receive that. You have to be open and receptive to this thing called God or this thing called the universe. With the persimmons, instead of continuing going to stores, I left that go. Persimmons came to me in a different way, you see. The ticket for Bette Midler came to me through somebody else, you see. One said no, the other one called and said, I have tickets for you. This is what you have to know. This is the way life is supposed to work for you. This is the whole idea of putting your life in divine right order. You have to let things come to you. The reason why many people do not do that is because they're pushing things away all the time. With their mind, they're trying to conceive, how am I going to get this? What is going to... You cannot outthink God. You cannot outthink God. You see, we have that wonderful saying, don't we? With God, all things are possible. With our minds, things seem impossible. So you have to realize that there's a mind bigger than yours that you're connected with. And that mind wants you to have these things, whatever it is, you see. We have a saying in religious science, which is, what mind can conceive, man can achieve. You have to get it in your mind first and open yourself to receiving all the wonderful abundance that there is in this world. You see. And so say, oh, that can't happen to me, or this doesn't happen, or I have to do it this way or that way, or the standard way. get rid of that idea that you have to do it in a standard way. We live and move and have our being in the mind of God. We live and move and have our being in a field of total possibility. Everything is possible. Everything is possible. We're not taught that, you see. We're taught, because we're still living in a flat world, and we're still using the laws that Newton came up with. And we think there's nothing but them. Now, they do work, Newton's laws, but there's more to it than that. If you stop with the Newtonian idea of what life is all about, you're not going to have a very happy life, people. But if you realize that all things are possible, that's one way to look at it. I'm going to learn to look at life differently. And that's what you're trying to do. This time of year is a perfect time to make up your mind to look at life differently. This is almost the end of the year coming up. This is a wonderful event coming up. So why don't you renew yourself and renew your thinking, renew your mind? The only way something new can come into your life is by changing your thinking. If you have the same thinking that you had last year, you're not going to bring anything new into your life. You're not going to bring anything new into your life. The same thought always produces the same result. You're saying? Years ago, I gave a talk called Plant a Radish, Get a Radish Every Time. You're saying? And that's what it's all about. You have to think, what do I really want? And let yourself open for all those things. When Charlie wrote back and said, send me your address, that's the artist, I sent it right off to him. I said, I'm very grateful and I'm overwhelmed and this is wonderful. I didn't say, oh, no, you can't do that. I'll pay you. I'll do this. I'll do that. You know, he wanted to give me it and I was ready to receive it. Now, he said they'll be in the mail this week. And I have no idea how big they are. They could be that big. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't care. I just love them. This is how you can run your life, people. And I know this may sound, well, funny, but it's not. These things happen to me all the time. This is how I prove that this thing really works, that this teaching works, and that there is something out there, call it God, call it anything that you want, that wants you to have everything that your heart desires. It wants you to have that. The only thing that ever holds us back from having what we want is our thinking. And when we change our thinking, we immediately get what we want. These stories are not just, you know, stories about me. You all have that. And I know perfectly well some of you, don't you, when you want a friend to call, doesn't the friend call you on the telephone? You see? You think of that friend, the phone rings. Oh, I was just thinking about you. Now, that goes through the ether and does something. It goes through this mind of God. The other person picks up on that. There's nothing mysterious about it. This is the way it's supposed to work. And it can work this way for everybody. Okay? Do it for yourself. Don't say, oh, well, Dallas is the only, he can do it because he's closer to God. I'm no closer to God than anybody else. As I told you, I don't understand half that stuff. Somebody's coming. Chico.
The neighbor.
Chico. I used to attend the Hollywood Church of Religious Science, and there was a wonderful minister there called Robert Bitzer, a church that no longer exists. Robert Bitzer had the first church of religious science outside of Founders Church, which was Ernest Holmes Church. This is an Ernest Holmes teaching for those people who don't know it. Ernest Holmes came up with this teaching. He was telling a story in the church about God and so forth and how to use God. And I often say to people, you know, everyone knows that God is mighty, but do you know that God is useful? Now he said, Robert said, you know, you're putting on the necklace, you don't say to God, now, dearie, clasp, put the clasp on there for me, you know, hook the clasp. You don't do that, but you do say to yourself, God, use my fingers so that I can clasp that necklace, you see. And we do that. You have to make that affirmation. You have to make that statement. And then this thing called God will always help you. I use it constantly that way. When I can't do something, I say, here, you come through me and help me do this. And God will do that for you. But we were taught that God is somewhere else. God is not somewhere else. God is right here, right now, coursing through you and wanting you to have what you want. And wanting you to have what you want. All right. With that said, let's do this one for today, which is Express the Divine. I am a spiritual being. I am connected to everything. You must realize that you're a spiritual being and that you're connected to everything. Now, for the new people here, I tell the other people here, have heard the story. I use this. Look at my plants in that room. They just keep growing. Why? Because I ask them to do that. And I know that they're God also. And they're connected to me. And I'm connected to them. You see? And someday I'll have to whack them back, I guess. But at the present moment, I'm not doing that. I'm a spiritual being. An expression of divine light. Life and love. That's what you have to know about yourself. I acknowledge and appreciate the gifts of spirit in me and in everyone. Chico. He does that when you move. Chico. As an expression of divine light, I am infused with the wisdom of God and guided in wise ways. Do you realize that you're always being divinely guided? You're always being divinely guided. I had a friend, Betty, who taught me, maybe 30 years ago. She said, Dallas, you must remember that you're always divinely guided. You always take the right turn in the road, and God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. Those are three wonderful affirmations to live by. You have to be able to do that. As an expression of divine life, I am filled with powerful healing energy that renews and revitalizes my body temple. You see, you have to know that that's coming through you all the time. I embrace all people, animals, and the planet as a whole. I am keenly aware of the powerful connection I share with all inhabitants of the earth. All inhabitants of the earth. I honor and protect the delicate balance necessary to coexist. I am grateful for the gift of spiritual expression as light, life, love, and permeating all that exists in this world. That's what you have to realize, that this thing called God, this energy, this intelligence, this light, is permeating everything. It's permeating everything. And when you know that, then you have what we call connection. This is a teaching of unity, you see. And you are one with this thing called God. Chico, Chico. Chico. As soon as you set it down, he'll stop. Isn't there more chairs in the bedroom? Bring both of them out.
I brought all three.
Pardon?
I brought all three out of the bedroom.
Oh, out of the bedroom. Then we're missing one chair. But you see that? You can move that Buddha and somebody can sit. That's a garden seat.
You can sit right here.
Just move that Buddha.
No, there's a chair over there.
Oh, that's where she's sitting.
Yeah. That'll, you can move that out. If you need to move it out, move it out.
Hi.
Good. All right. Now, everyone settle down. Are you okay?
She goes to Sergeant Arms.
Yeah. He says, please keep your seat.
Stay seated for the whole ride.
So, anyway, we are completely connected to this thing called God, and you must do that for yourself every day. You must do that. You must talk to yourself. And you must convince yourself that this is true. You must convince yourself that you are divinely guided. That you always take the right turn in the road and that God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. Another one that I do every day is, I am the full expression of God's love. Just as God is love, so am I. I am love. I am the full expression of God's love. And the other class members have heard that one before. But I do these. These are called affirmations. Affirmation is a good thought. It's a positive thought that you want to put into your mind. So that your mind throws up something good to you and not something like, oh, you're full of it. You see? Or you can't do that. Or whatever your mind is telling you. You have to do your own thinking. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. And you must learn how to use it. And we are never taught how to use our mind. We let our mind go this way and that way. Now, during this period, which is the Advent season, we are learning to be present. What does that mean? Everyone knows that. We talked about that a little bit last week. And we talked about the idea of always in the now. You can't be any place than where you are. But your mind wants to tell you that. And you allow your mind to go someplace else. You see, you're sitting in this room right now. Are you completely in this room? Are you completely present? Or is your mind saying, oh, well, tomorrow morning I have this to do, that to do, or when I get home tonight I'm going to watch this on television, and oh, what did I have to eat, and what did I do? If you're doing any of that kind of conversation in your mind, you're not in this room. You are someplace else. You must always bring your mind into your body and be present. You see. And when you're present, you will see life completely differently. But most of us are floating off somewhere else all the time with all the different thoughts that we have. Many people like to think about the past. It gets you absolutely nowhere to think about the past. The past is gone. There isn't a damn thing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about the past. And many people are sitting thinking about the future. Nothing you can do about the future either. Nothing you can do about the future. The only thing you can do anything about is this very moment. So you have to be present in the moment. Many people go through their whole life without ever being present. Now the world is very convincing, and it does not want you to be in the present. It wants you to be someplace else. Why? Because it wants to sell you something. It wants to sell you something. Do you remember Jesus said, "I've overcome the world"? He overcame the thoughts of the world, what we call race mind or collective consciousness. He was able to overcome that. And you, all of us can learn to do that. But in order to do that, we must settle our thinking so that we are thinking the thought that we want to think and not allowing thoughts. People think that they have to think this thought or that thought when it enters the mind. You don't have to do that. You do not have to do that. If a thought comes into your mind you don't like, tell it to go out. If a person came into your house and carried on and was awful, you would ask them to leave. But if a thought comes in, you'll entertain that thought for once. Oh, well, I've got to figure that out. I've got to do this. Don't do that. Get rid of those thoughts. Get rid of any thought that doesn't heal you and bless you and prosper you. That's the only thoughts that you want to keep in your life. Thoughts that heal you, bless you, and prosper you. Any other thoughts are not worth it. They are just not worth it. We're going to do an exercise in a minute. I'm going to tell you, show you and teach you how to be present. But Casey, you wanted to do something, didn't you? Do a testimony?
I just wanted to share what we were talking about last week of being present. I kind of put more into action and took a few people aside that mean something to my life to understand what it is to just be. And just share with them that that was my gift to them today and every day forward, that I was trying to be more present. That I was being the present for being the best I can be. And it's quite honored. What I noticed was more subtleties of the interaction, like if I did something in driving that might have irked somebody or something, I went right into forgiving myself for whatever it was. But I just, the more subtleties were coming up when you're in that space of being. You know, I very much practice not having an opinion, having no judgment, but not having an opinion really gets you in that space of just being. So just want to say I was practicing it and
good.
Started to notice more things of the buffer.
And we have to practice it. Now the main thing in life that you can give to somebody, the greatest gift that you can give to anyone is what?
Yourself.
Your time.
Your attention.
Attention.
And most people, you do not have their attention. When you have having a conversation with somebody, you're thinking, oh, what can I say next? What can I do here? What can I do there? Instead of just paying attention, letting the person talk and hearing what they're saying. That's giving somebody your attention. We have to learn to do that. Now, they may be saying, who cares what they say? But you have to. The greatest gift you can give anyone is to give them your attention. That is an absolute form of love, to be able to give your attention to somebody. Why do you think the world is in the shape it is in? All the people are clamoring. They think they're clamoring for love. But what they are clamoring for is your attention. They want your attention. They want to know that they are important to you. They want to know that what they're saying, you are hearing. But in many conversations, we are thinking, oh, what will I say next to this person? You see, then you're not present. You are not present. You are somewhere else. So, learn to give your attention to the people around you, to everyone, to the clerk in the store. Give your attention to that person. That is the greatest gift you can give someone, is the act of giving attention to them. That is why children are in such bad shape, because parents do not give them attention. They think they're giving attention. They could care less. I grew up in a family where a child was seen and not heard. And they told you that. You have no opinion. You have no nothing. You're a child. You see? Don't do that to people. Don't do that to yourself. So we want to keep that going. The idea of giving somebody your attention. If you're in a relationship, the greatest thing you can do in a relationship is give the other person their attention. They want to know that you're hearing what they are saying. You see? And you can use this. I'm sure that Christine can use it. It's a great tool to use when you're selling something. If the person knows that they have your attention, you'll get the listing. If your mind is off someplace else and you're not present, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. We are not told these things. We didn't grow up this way. We all have educations. We have this, that, and everything, but no one tells us that the most important thing is in giving somebody your attention. Giving somebody your attention. Do it for yourselves. So, let's take one moment and we'll do one exercise to become present, okay? And we do that by first getting comfortable in the chair. And then you start to realize that you're here. You're not someplace else. You're in this room. This room, by the way, is very distracting. This room is always trying to get your attention. I made it that way. You see, this room, because there's something all over to look at. You can't do that. So now you want to be present. So just close your eyes. Calm yourself just a little. Take a few little deep breaths. Tell yourself that you're in this room, that you are present. Now see what your mind is doing to you. Is it pulling you this way and that way? Are you able to calm down the internal conversation? Are you able to come to what we call the zero point? Come to the point where you're absolutely present, where there is no thought whatsoever going on. Everyone thinks that thoughts are so important. They're not all that important, people. When you're able to calm your mind, still your mind, so that you hear no internal conversation whatsoever going on, now you're in the present. And you have to be in the present in order to create what you want in life. Whether it's
persimmons, tickets, artwork. You have to calm your mind so that there is no thinking going on. If you can come to the zero point where it's sort of black inside of you, you are now in the present. And when you're in that present, not only the present moment, you happen to be in the presence of this thing called God. God is always in the silence, not in the yammer of the world, always in the silence within you. And we reach that by stilling our thoughts. If you're having a thought, tell it to stop. It's not all that important at the present moment. What you are achieving right now is stillness, is peace. You see, when you have no thinking going on, you're at complete rest and you're at complete peace. Those thoughts, you can always pick them up later. You can always pick them up later. But at the present moment, you don't need to think. You need to get into that zone, into that wonderful zone. You know, athletes, when they're in the zone, they're not thinking. When you're allowing yourself to enter the zone, you're doing wonderful things without thought. Whatsoever, without thought whatsoever. One of the artists that was able to do that and leave himself behind and let this silence overtake him when he performed was Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was a completely different person when he performed, because he moved himself out of the way. He stopped all judgment and he stopped all thought and allowed this thing that we call God to come through him. Now, when he came out of that, he was a little wacko, but anyone can enter this stillness by controlling your thinking, by controlling your mind. It takes practice. It takes practice. Try it every day for just a few minutes. You will see all the difference. It's also absolutely healing. It's absolutely healing. You allow that energy, that wisdom, that intelligence to come forth within you. I always tell everyone, you know, God is so polite that God will not interrupt your thinking to interject something. When you have all that chatter going on, how do you expect God to do anything for you? An impossibility. So that's how you stay in the present. You feel yourself on the chair. You feel yourself in this room. And you know, here I am. The mind wants to tell you that you can be someplace else. You could never be any place but where you are in body. But you can in mind. You can go. Control your thinking. Find that zone within you. Find it. You can come back when you're ready. Did that help, that little exercise? That's how you enter the present moment. And that's how you enter the presence of this thing that we call God, by becoming still. The whole idea in life is learning to control your thinking. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. Learn to use it. It's a very powerful device. And we allow it to go this way and that way. And we allow it to run havoc in our life. To run havoc in our life. Now I'm going to go back and repeat myself about this thing of serendipity, or this thing of synchronicity, and so forth. All these little things, it's very easy to discount them. And this is why people do not grow. You cannot discount anything that happens to you. You must know that it was this power that brought this stuff to you. I know persimmons don't sound like much. To me, they were everything. You've got to start somewhere. I could have never told that story. I could have said, oh, well, isn't that a coincidence? You see, there's no such thing as a coincidence in the mind of God. No such thing as a coincidence. And we like to discount what happens to us, and said, oh, well, what happened, blah, 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 blah. No, you have to realize that you're always divinely guided, you always take the right turn in the road, and God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. Do not let your mind discount anything good that's happening to you, that's coming into your life. Do not do that to yourself. If you're in this teaching, and if you want to be in this teaching, and you want to practice the presence of God and so forth, this is how you practice the presence of God. And a couple weeks ago, when we had that one man who was a lawyer, by the way, they told me he was a lawyer, as I said to him, I can discount this and I can disprove this teaching all day long. But that is not what I want to do. I want to be able to prove this teaching all day long. And there comes the rub, or the little bit of difficulty sometimes. But you have to do that for yourself. You have to do that for yourself. And you can. We all can. And if I can do all these things, you can do all these things. I'm nobody special. Nobody special. You see, this thing called God does never shows favorites. Never shows favorites. We are all equal in the mind of God. All equal in the mind of God. The other thing to remember is that God would be incomplete without each and every one of us. God needs each and every one of us. And we certainly need this thing called God. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.